live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 18th day of May, 2020. And I am thrilled to have back as a returning guest today, Paul Touches, who is senior pastor of Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio, series editor for Lifeline Mini Books, a blogger at counselingoneanother.com, and author of many books, including Comforting the Grieving, Counseling One Another, Brass Heavens, and the book that we are going to be addressing today, A Small Book for the Hurting Heart, Meditations on Loss, Grief, and Healing. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Paul Touches.
Thanks so much, Chris. It's always a joy to be with you, and love talking with you and talking about books and talking about, most of all, the gospel and the hope that Christ gives to us.
Amen. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, and obviously a theme like this would easily lend itself to folks having personal and private questions. So you may feel free to remain anonymous for those questions. And what I wanted to do before, as I always do, before we go into the theme of the book today, please let our listeners know something about Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio.
Yes, Cornerstone has been around now for 30 years. I'm the second pastor here. We're part of the Evangelical Free Church of America, so the EFCA, and we are delighted by what God is doing among us as we just try to walk by faith and be faithful to His Word, preach His Word faithfully, and disciple one another. So we're excited about what the Lord is doing among us. My family and I moved here 5 years ago, and we're just really enjoying a season of unusual blessing in ministry, and we're grateful to God for that.
Great. And for those of you who want to explore the website of this church so you can learn more about it, go to cornerstonemayfield.org. Cornerstone, MAYFIELD.org. And this little book looks like it's going to be a treasure trove of helpful guidance and comfort and counsel in spite of its small size. I want to just read a couple of the commendations written by some wonderful folks. In fact, the first one, Johnny Erickson Tata, if anybody has had her share of suffering in life, and if anybody has had a hurting heart at times in her life, it has certainly been Johnny Erickson Tata. And Johnny says, when we hurt and ask God why, we often are not looking for answers. Rather, our hearts are looking for comfort, encouragement, and fatherly assurance that our world is not spinning out of control. In his new work, A Small Book with a Hurting Heart, my friend Paul Touches points the reader to helpful insights from the best answer of all, the Lord Jesus. Every page is filled with bite-sized wisdom from the Word of God, providing healing hope for every heart that hurts. I heartily endorse this small but power-packed book. And, of course, Edward T. Welch, who is the author of A Small Book for the Anxious Heart, and he's on the faculty at Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation, also known as CCEF. He says, grief is sometimes too burdensome to search for direction and comfort in Scripture. We want the encouragement of Scripture, but don't have the energy to find just the right passages. In this little book, Paul has found those right passages and brought us into them so that they can be brought into us. And David Murray, who is actually a personal friend of mine, who I've interviewed on this program, and who gave me his own book on depression not long after my own wife passed away and went home to be with Christ for eternity. David, who's on the faculty at the Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who is a professor of practical theology there, and the author of Christians Get Depressed Too, and Reset, Living a Grace-Paced Life in a Burnout Culture. He says, a small book, but massive comfort. I'm so thankful for the rivers of spiritual healing that will flow through this beautiful daily devotional into many wounded hearts. And last but not least, I want to read an endorsement from another friend of mine who I've interviewed quite a number of times here on the show. In fact, we are going to be interviewing him soon, God willing, on a new project he's working on. Nate Pickowitz, who's an author and pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, he says, loss, grief, and sadness are common human experiences and no less common in the Christian life. In seeking comfort, it can be extremely hard to find. That's why I'm thankful for Paul Touch's new book, A Small Book for the Hurting Heart. In the course of 50 devotions, Paul brings the hurting believer by the hand right into the pages of Scripture and shows them where true comfort is to be found. He skillfully applies carefully selected verses to counsel the reader and ease their burden. I would encourage you to prayerfully give this book to those who are hurting, but keep a copy for yourself for when sorrows come. That's excellent counsel. And in fact, even though a person who wants to comfort others might frequently and readily gain much benefit from reading a massive tome on the subject, very rarely does somebody who is actually the one who is hurting, very rarely is someone like that mentally capable of sitting down and wading through a large book. And this small size makes it perfect for that very reason. Am I not correct on that?
Yeah, that's really part of the heart behind this little book, is understanding that when loss and grief come into our lives and comes in so many different ways, the last thing that any of us really have the energy for is to read a 300-page book about grief or how God ministers to us in our grief. And so I was so thrilled to be chosen to be the author of this particular book in this little devotional series, because my heart has long been drawn to those who are grieving. Early on in my pastoral ministry in Wisconsin, I was a hospice chaplain. And you learn really quickly when you're visiting people in hospice or in the hospital, and that you need to keep your visits very brief, which means you need to come up with wise, biblical, and helpful things to say in a short space. And so that that's really been helpful to me as I was working on this book, to have that vision of giving a person a bite-sized portion of God's Word, but not in a junk food kind of way, but really in a healthy morsel of nourishment for the soul and comfort for the heart that is grieving.
Now, those that have hurting hearts come from a wide spectrum of backgrounds and circumstances. Who will benefit most from your devotional?
Well, really, anyone who has been, who is experiencing any sort of loss. Of course, we often think, when we hear the word loss, we most often think immediately of the death of a loved one. But loss comes in so many other forms in our lives. Loss of relationships, loss of security through unemployment or, the changes in our economy, loss of relationships through divorce and church conflicts and loss of dreams, loss of health. I mean, there's so many different kinds of loss. So that's really the aim of the book, is to minister to anyone who is experiencing the loss of something that is really precious to them. So it's not only for those who are grieving the death of a loved one, though it certainly will be of great benefit to them, but it goes a little broader than that.
Yeah, that's excellent, because I've heard from quite a number of people, and of course each individual is unique and responds to pain and responds to all kinds of things in different ways, but I've heard that divorce can frequently be even more painful than mourning the death of a loved one, because you have that person who has abandoned you still alive, still out there, perhaps moving on with their life, and it could just really magnify the pain.
Yes, and that's where, you know, the truth of God's Word is so beautiful, and I just love how God's Word continues to be relevant to whatever we go through. The Holy Spirit, of course, being the divine author of the Scriptures, knows exactly what you and I need when we are grieving some kind of loss in our life, and how the Spirit of God uses His Word to minister to us and remind us of how much God truly does love and care for us, and how He is here, He is present, and also to point our eyes to the future, to the inheritance that belongs to us in Christ.
Now, you served not only as a pastor and a counselor, but as a hospice chaplain, as you were just mentioning before. Does the weight of the grief of those around you ever become overwhelming to you?
Yes. I don't really serve that way regularly anymore, though I did in the early years of my pastoral ministry, and I did often find myself overwhelmed with grief and loss that other people were experiencing, and so the Lord really had to teach me that I needed to retain the empathy that the Spirit of God was knitting in my heart, but I needed to remind myself consciously that Jesus is the only one who is strong enough, whose shoulders are broad enough to carry the weight of every person's grief. And so I, you know, as a pastor, I am an under-shepherd, but Jesus is the good shepherd. And so just to realize that my role is to be, I like to say, a conduit of comfort. God comforts us in all of our affliction, 2 Corinthians 1 says, but it's never just for us. It is for us. Don't get me wrong. God is comforting us, and we take great comfort in that. But the comfort He gives to us is intended to, at some point in the future, then be passed on to someone else. And so when you realize that you're not a reservoir of comfort, you are a conduit of comfort, I think it makes a difference, that God's comfort is to flow through you. It doesn't end with you.
And we've brought this up in previous interviews, but grief has struck your own family in a deep way recently. Would you mind sharing about your own grief journey?
Yeah, last year, 2019, was a really difficult year for our family. In fact, it was between the time that I submitted the manuscript for this book to the publisher, so from that time to the time that it actually came out as a book that you could hold in your hand, we had two very significant losses in our family. My father-in-law passed away last June while my family and I were in Alabama serving at a Johnny and Friends disability family retreat, and we got the call, and we knew that he wasn't doing well, but we all thought that we maybe had, maybe 6 more months, maybe we would have another Christmas with him, and all of a sudden he was gone, and God in his grace then enabled me to sneak in a dedication right before the book went to the printer. I had the honor to be able to dedicate the book to him. But then, a couple weeks before Christmas of last year, we also lost a beautiful granddaughter who lived only 45 minutes outside of her mother's womb. And, even though we also expected that loss because of what the doctors knew was going on inside the womb, there's a sense in which you can prepare yourself for loss, but you're not really fully ready for it ever. For when that moment comes, there is deep emotion, deep sense of loss. And so God is so faithful, though, to draw us into his word and comfort our hearts through his word, and to know that he is faithful, he is good, and the promises of his word are true. We can cling to them as anchors for our faith.
Well, I would hope that my listeners hearing this would pray for your family.
Thank you.
Continue to pray as you continue, I'm sure, to experiencing the pain of the loss that you've experienced, the losses. I'm hoping that that obviously, as you hope for others, that the Lord gives everyone in your family the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yes, thank you. We know what 2 Corinthians 12 says about the grace of Christ being sufficient for us. But when we walk through deep valleys and long valleys of sorrow, that becomes so real. It becomes something you can truly testify from personal experience, that when Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is perfected in your weakness," to experience that is such a treasure in our lives, and it's a testimony to the sufficiency of Christ and his grace.
Now, in your book, you relentlessly connect God's comfort to the gospel. Why is that important?
Well, I think that, when we experience loss, one of the temptations that we commonly experience is that we feel as though God is far away, or we feel as though perhaps God wasn't looking when this happened to us, which of course we know isn't true according to Scripture, but sometimes our emotions can cloud our minds and what we know to be true. And so I think that one of the most important truths for us to experience and to believe at that moment is that God is very near, and nothing shouts that God draws near to us more than the gospel does, because the gospel is the good news that in Christ Jesus, God drew near to us as sinners. and Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He came and dwelt on this earth and lived a sinless life and took that sinless life to the cross as the one and only sacrifice for our sins, as the Lamb of God. And when he was slain upon the cross as that Lamb of God, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, as if man could somehow do it, but from top to bottom, God ripping open the access, free access into his presence. So all of that, you know, that's gospel truth that says to us, God is near. God is very near. He is close. He is present. He is here. And that strengthens us to know that the Lord is with us, and that the promises that we have in Christ as a result of believing in the gospel are secure for us. So I like to say that Christ-centered comfort is the only true comfort. Any other kind of comfort is just superficial.
Yes, amen to that. In Psalm 56, verse 8, we read that God keeps track of our sorrows and collects our tears. Why are our tears that important to God?
Yeah, that verse, Psalm 56:8, became so precious to me after my mom passed away 10 years ago. She died very suddenly of a brain hemorrhage and was gone within 3 hours, so we didn't even get to the hospital in time. But the Lord drew me into that particular psalm, and it's so comforting to know that tears are noticed by God. Our tears are noticed by God. They're a gift from God. They're a way for us to embrace the pain that we're going through and to release our emotions. And so poetically, if God collects all the tears that we weep during the griefs and losses that we experience, then surely we know that he cares about them, and he cares about what causes our tears. And so I think that truth like this is so important for us to embrace, because it encourages us to turn toward God. Sometimes when unexpected loss comes into our lives, our flesh will tempt us to turn away from the Lord, but that's the worst thing we can ever do. And so I think it's important to remind ourselves that God cares, and he cares about what bad things happen to us, and our grief grieves him, and he is there for us. He ministers to us in our times of sorrow. And you know, I love the promise of Romans 8 that there's nothing, no kind of loss that can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. What a wonderful truth.
Praise God. Definitely. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preaches that blessed are those who mourn. In what ways are we blessed at times of great grief?
Well, I think one of the ways we are blessed in times of grief is we are kind of forced to draw ourselves closer to the Lord, at least nudged in the direction of turning toward the Lord. Because sometimes in our sorrow, we can turn inward, we can kind of look to see if we have the resources within ourselves to be able to endure whatever loss that we are going through. But we don't need to turn inward. We need to turn upward. We need to look not inside for the strength that we need, but we need to look to the Lord. And so to know that God is not turned off by our grief, by our sadness, is actually God's design that we are weak and dependent people. And so, and when Jesus says, blessed are those who who mourn, you know, I believe that first he's talking about salvation, that when we mourn over our sins, that's repentance. Repentance is involved there, and we turn to the Lord, but also when we go through times of grief and we mourn, we are blessed by the Lord, because we turn to Him, and by turning to Him, we are giving testimony that we are dependent upon Him and that He is sufficient for all that we need.
Well, we are going right now to our first station break, and if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, we do have some folks waiting in line to ask questions of you and have you answer them. But if anybody would like to get in line so that you can further ensure that you will have your questions asked and answered on the air, please send an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with our guest, Paul Tauches, and our discussion on A Hurting Heart right after these messages from our sponsors. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit getworldnow.com today.
Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at wng.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
This is Andrew Rappaport with Striving for Eternity Ministries. Are you cooped up at home? Are you just desiring to use your time wisely? Well, Justin Peters and I got together and realized that our calendars were cleared because of COVID-19. So we decided we would get together and do our Snatch Them from the Flames seminar, Home Edition. That's right, a free seminar, May 30th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to give you a free seminar that you can take at home. We're going to cover the topics of the sufficiency of Scripture, interpreting Scripture, discerning false teachers, identifying false teachers, and then a Q&A. Get all the details at strivingforeternity.org, and there you can go to the online events to register before May 30th, and we'll see you there online in your home.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient Scripture, dissemination of Scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hopley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnson, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is Paul Tauches, and we are discussing his book, A Small Book for the Hurting Heart, Meditations on Loss, Grief, and Healing. If you'd like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And Paul, a classic text in the scriptures from Isaiah 53 is that Jesus is the man of sorrows. In fact, one of my favorite quotes from the great 19th century evangelical Anglican bishop, J.C. Ryle, is Jesus is the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. None have such an opportunity of learning the mind of a suffering Savior as suffering disciples. That's burned into my memory, and I try to recall that not only when I am in pain myself, but when I'm trying to comfort others.
Yeah.
But how is seeing Jesus in this way a comfort when we are grappling with grief?
Yeah, as you were saying that, I just couldn't help but think of the Apostle Paul's longing expressed in Philippians 3, where it says he longs to know Christ and to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. And there's something about suffering that draws us closer to the Lord and makes us more like Christ. And so when we see the Lord Jesus as the man of sorrows, then we immediately understand that we have a high priest who totally understands what we are going through. He has experienced those feelings and more. When we think of what happened to the Lord Jesus on the cross when he was punished in our place, the Father turned his back upon the Son because, as the prophet says in the Old Testament, God cannot look upon sin. And so when our sin was heaped upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus, so to speak, and the Father turned away. And so the Lord Jesus has suffered in every way and more than we have. And so there's no pain, there's no sadness, there's no hurt, there's no loss that the Lord Jesus does not know personally. We of course are reminded as well that not only the Old Testament that speaks of him as the man of sorrows, but also in the New Testament where we find him weeping at the grave of his friend and weeping not only for his own loss, but for the loss of his friends, Mary and Martha. And so seeing the Lord Jesus in this way brings great comfort to us because it reminds us as well that he is that empathetic high priest who the author of Hebrews says is right now sitting at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. So to know that not only does he understand what we're going through in times of loss and grief, but he also knows how to pray for us because he's been through it himself.
Amen. In fact, we have a very relevant question from a listener on this. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. And Susan Margaret says, I know that it is true God breathed words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. My question regarding this is that even though I do believe it is absolutely true, I have trouble really wrapping my mind around it, because Jesus Christ, although he became very much like us in his humanity, is very, very different from us, since he is not only fully man, but fully God. How do you further convince others in this truth, which is one of the great mysteries of the Scripture?
Yeah, I'm glad you used the word mystery, because right there, you know, by referring to it as a biblical mystery, we recognize that that is something we cannot fully recognize and even fully appreciate. But to know from the Scriptures that the Lord Jesus is both God and man, that he is the only mediator between God and man, and the reason he can be that only mediator is because he is both God and man. So we need to understand that his humanity was fully like ours, except for sin. So he had every form of human weakness that is disconnected to sin. So Jesus experienced grief, loss, pain, all of the effects of the fall, because he was living in a fallen world without himself being fallen. And we embrace this truth, we testify this truth, and we live out this truth in our own response to suffering. And I think that's one of the best ways to help other people understand the sufficiency of Christ as the God-man, as the high priest who intercedes for us, is to let other people see how we suffer, to suffer transparently, but also to suffer with hope, because we as believers do have hope that unbelievers don't have. So there's a sense in which we can't ever fully convince someone else of these truths, because we ourselves can't. The truths are too great for us to even comprehend. I mean, they would blow our circuits if we could understand fully the nature of the God-man, Jesus Christ. So there's a mystery, there's faith, but just to affirm the Word of God, and then to, in the way that we respond to our own suffering, we can be a testimony of hope and joy, even when life is incredibly painful.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Susan Margaret, and please make sure that we have your full mailing address in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, because you have won a free copy of the book we are discussing. That's Paul Tautje's new book, A Small Book for the Hurting Heart, Meditations on Loss, Grief, and Healing. And that is compliments of our friends at New Growth Press, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Services, who will be shipping that book out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So thanks for the great question. Keep listening and keep submitting wonderful questions to the program. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie says, when we are in the midst of deep sin, and we have not fully repented of this, and we keep getting drawn back to it, and we are experiencing overwhelming pain, crying out to the Lord, does he hear our prayers? And I guess I'm assuming that Arnie is specifically speaking about the fact that the person who he is describing is still sinning. I mean, we all sin, of course, but perhaps this is a very scandalous, very extremely rebellious sin.
Yeah, that answer, the question has to be answered, I think, in two different ways. one of which is, what is this person's attitude toward their own sin? Are they hard-hearted and determined to remain in their sin and spurn the grace of God? Then, according to Scripture, you know, I think that they need to really look in the mirror of the Word of God and determine whether or not they're truly born again, whether or not the Holy Spirit lives within them, because Scripture testifies that though we as believers will struggle with sin and fight against sin, the flesh will war against the spirit and the spirit will war against the flesh. There is, at the end of the day, there's still that desire to become holy, and there is that grief over sin. And so one of the ways that God disciplines us, though, is by withholding answers to prayer. I deal with this extensively in my book that you mentioned at the start of the program, Brass Heavens, Reasons for Unanswered Prayer. And I deal with six biblical reasons why God does not answer our prayers. And one of them is that we are stubbornly set in our ways, and we are cherishing sin in our hearts. So the question comes, you know, what is the person's attitude toward that sin and their constant failure? If they are grieving over their sin, if they are asking other people to help them to overcome this sin, that's a really strong indicator that their desire is really to be like Jesus, to be holy, and that desire in and of itself is not a natural thing. It's not natural to our flesh. That's really good evidence that a person knows the Lord. But God will sometimes use unanswered prayer as a means of disciplining us, to awaken us to the reality that we need to repent. We need to turn away from our sins. And we need to become aware of what God sees in our lives and plead with Him for help. So there will be a struggle in the Christian life, for sure. And I'm more concerned about the person who doesn't struggle anymore. You know, when a person gets to the point where they just raise the white flag and they just say, forget it, this isn't even worth it, and they just go off into sin and become calloused and hard-hearted and cold-hearted, that's a really dangerous place to be.
Amen. Well, thank you, Arnie, and please make sure we have your full mailing address in Perry County, Pennsylvania, because you have also won a free copy of a small book for the Hurting Heart. Compliments are of our friends at New Growth Press, and compliments of our friends at CVBBS.com, who will actually be mailing that to you. We have an anonymous listener. The anonymous listener says, what counsel can you give those who torment themselves knowing that their own sins from the past has brought about great loss in life that can never be replaced?
Yeah, the pain of regret. The pain of regret can be really, really intense. And It requires the ongoing discipline of running back to the cross, running back to Christ, running back to the security that is ours. I like to direct people to Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8, and just live there for a while, read that those four chapters over and over and over again to become further rooted in the gospel of God's grace. Sin, you know, it's often been said that we can choose our sins, but we cannot choose the consequences of our sins. And I think that's what this person is talking about, is that when the Lord opens our eyes, we realize that some of the losses that we have experienced in life are the consequences of our own foolishness or our own sins. But instead of becoming overwhelmed by that, we need to properly repent. We need to let the sorrow do its work
But we need to run really quickly back to the Lord, back to Christ, and understand that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that we rest solely on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we are accepted, already accepted by God. We don't have to earn acceptance. We don't have to perform to be accepted, but we, if we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, then we are already accepted fully by God the Father. We have been adopted into His family, and we need to meditate on those kinds of truths so that we are not overcome by the pain of regret.
Amen, and let's not ever forget that the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, murdered men and women who were Christians for their faith.
Yes.
And if the Lord gave him the peace to carry on, not only as a Christian, but as an apostle, he can do that for us as well.
Well, and I'd also like to add, Chris, that there have been times that I have felt that way in my Christian life, and one of the most helpful things for me has been to pray through Psalm 51 as my own prayer. You know, David's prayer of repentance there, and that can apply to any kind of sin. It doesn't really matter what kind of sin it is, because the truth there is relevant regardless. But to, because you see how deeply David is grieving over his sin and the things that his sin has caused. But by the time you get to the end of the psalm, you find him pleading with the Lord to restore to him the joy of his salvation. And so making that psalm a prayer of your own can be extremely helpful.
Amen. We have to go to our midway break. It's a longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show since they air this program twice a day in a pre-recorded format in morning drive and in the evening. And they have to, according to FCC regulations, localize this program to Lake City, Florida by airing their own public service announcements while we air our worldwide commercials, those that are heard globally via live streaming. So please use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which will keep them happy and hopefully keep them our advertisers so that we can remain on the air because we require their funding to exist. But also write down questions for Paul Tauchus on the hurting heart and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. I'm going to lead into this midway break right now with a song. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. I'm sure that the vast majority of you know who Little Richard was. Richard Wayne Penniman was his real name, and I just found out that he passed away at the age of 87. He was someone who is well known to have been battling demons most of his life, and it seemed like his life was on a pendulum swinging back and forth in and out of the Christian faith. He struggled and committed very atrocious sins, such as homosexuality, and was involved in orgies and drug abuse and all kinds of things. I was so encouraged when I saw a recent interview with him on television before he passed, where he was once again speaking with the strong voice of a committed, repentant Christian and renouncing sin. So it is my hope that he is in eternity with Christ at this moment. And I'm going to play a song for you now that is a very little-known song by this man. This song would not come up on your typical Google search of Little Richard, like Good Golly Miss Molly and Tutti Frutti Oh Rudy. This is a song with eternal significance. What am I supposed to do without Jesus? And I hope you all, while listening to it, reflect on those words yourself, especially perhaps those who are listening who do not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
In the past, I've been so self-sufficient, and I told myself I'm the master of my fate. But then one day, Jesus showed me my nothingness, and now he is the master of my soul. What am I supposed to do without Jesus? What am I supposed to do without Him? What am I supposed to do without Jesus? Without Him, I just can't do anything. He's my life, and He's my joy. He gives me strength when I grow old. He's the Alpha, and He's Omega, the beginning. Can't do anything. Lord, I've hated, Lord. What am I supposed to do? Lord, I've cheated, Lord. What am I supposed to do?
Richard, as I said before, just recently passed away, born December 5th, 1932, died May 9th, 2020.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love. Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
James
White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Zion Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpen Zion Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Garden Hill, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpen Zion Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpen Zion Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic.
Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Andrew Rappaport with Striving for Eternity Ministries. Are you cooped up at home? Are you just desiring to use your time wisely? Well, Justin Peters and I got together and realized that our calendars were cleared because of COVID-19. So we decided we would get together and do our Snatch Them from the Flames seminar, home edition. That's right, a free seminar, May 30th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to give you a free seminar that you can take at home. We're going to cover the topics of the sufficiency of Scripture, interpreting Scripture, discerning false teachers, identifying false teachers, and then a Q&A. Get all the details at strivingforeternity.org, and there you can go to the online events to register before May 30th, and we'll see you there online in your home.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, "Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air for a longer future, because we rely upon Solid Ground Christian Books to exist. They are a premier, a very key and primary and vital sponsor of this program. So please, remember Solid Ground Christian Books for all your gift-giving needs, whether it's for Father's Day, graduation day, back-to-school gifts, birthdays, anniversaries, bereavement gifts, all kinds of gifts, whether your friends and loved ones are Christians or not, because you can edify a Christian with a wonderful Christian book, but you could also lead a lost person to Christ, who will experience eternal life with him, with a book from Solid Ground Christian Books. So please, always remember, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Paul Touches, I just have a few more announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We lost two of our largest advertisers, and I'm hoping it's just temporarily, due to the hysteria attached to the coronavirus. It has severely damaged these two businesses of our advertisers. And therefore, they had to go on a hiatus on funding this program. So can you please help us to make up for that which was lost financially by going to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. And you could also send in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Just make out the checks to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And you could also advertise with us send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I want to thank each and every one of you from the very depths of my heart for your generosity. Those of you who have been responding to my daily SOSs for help, there is now a steady stream of folks who are being very generous to us. Some of you are faithful monthly supporters. Some of you are brand new that we've never heard from before. In fact, one of our brand new supporters, who I have never even received a question regarding the regarding a guest or anything before, she lives in the Austin, Texas area. She broke all records recently with her absolutely phenomenal financial gift. So please, if you have already given to us, please continue to give if you are able. And if you've never given to us and yet still enjoy this show, please reconsider your lack of giving and help us remain on the air by going to ironsharpenedironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And remember, folks, please don't ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to us. Never do that, because especially during these times when churches have had to close their doors, and it looks like many churches will be opening up their doors very soon, but the churches have been hit very hard financially during this time, and yours may be one of them, so please don't siphon money away from your regular giving to your own church to give to us, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to us. Those are two commands of Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for this show, Iron Sharpens Iron, is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show, you're blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money because you haven't been going to your favorite sporting events, you haven't been going out fine dining, you haven't been going to Bible conferences, and many other things that you used to love to do. Well, with that money that has not been spent on those things, could you please help us with that money if you love the show and don't want us to go away? Remember, ironsharpenedironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you are having a hard time finding a church near you that is biblically faithful, I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I have helped many people all over the world find churches near them that they have either joined or visited on vacation or have referred to others that they know who cannot find a church. So please, if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Paul Touches. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Before we go to any other listener questions, Paul, I know that grief can tempt us to want immediate answers to our pain, which may result in thinking that God has forgotten us or is far away. What biblical truths can we choose to focus on during the times we have unanswered questions?
One of the most helpful verses that I was taught as a brand new believer, I remember sitting in the living room of the home of the couple that discipled me for a year and a half, is Deuteronomy 29:29. And I'll never forget, you know, basically they were using that verse to emphasize the fact that they, as the leaders of the Bible study, couldn't answer every question. And that was just really helpful. But in that verse, Moses says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever." And that's so helpful, because to just acknowledge that we are finite. God is infinite. We are finite. God does not have to tell us everything that he's up to in the trials that we go through. There are some things that he retains for his own knowledge, but there are things that are revealed, and there are many more things revealed in the scriptures than even we have the ability to learn and to obey in our lifetime. And just to know that even though we don't know everything that's going on in and through our suffering, we do know that God is good, he is wise, that his hand of providence is mysterious, but it's always working together for the good of those who love him and for his glory. So we need to remember truths like that. We need to remember that the Lord is our rock and our fortress, as Psalm 18 says, and that he is our ever-present help in time of trouble. Just to know that we can run to him with any of our hurts, any of our needs.
What are some of the things you can do to minister to someone who is hurting?
I think probably the most important thing to do is to move in closer, to not be afraid that you might say the wrong thing. Sometimes when we see other people going through deep, deep grief, we feel inadequate, we feel afraid that we're going to say the wrong thing, and so we don't say anything at all, and that's really the worst thing that we can do. We should not pull away from them because we're afraid of embarrassing ourselves or not being smart enough, so to speak, to say the right thing. We need to just know that what people need is our comforting presence. And, you know, in these days of the coronavirus crisis, of course, moving in closer takes on a whole new meaning. We need to find other ways if we can't actually be in each other's presence, depending on who you're trying to minister to. We need to move in closer through phone calls and emails and texts. But the whole point is draw near to the person who is hurting. Be present. Listen a lot. Speak a little. You don't have to have all the right answers. It's enough to just say something like, you know, I'm really sorry. This must hurt really badly. One of the mistakes I think we make is we try to compare our suffering to other people's suffering, or we might say to someone who's grieving, well, a friend of mine went through what you went through, and this is how it all turned out. You know, that's really less than helpful, because even though the griefs we experience are common, no two are exactly identical. And so the comparison game doesn't help all that much. So show love, show compassion, speak gentle healing words. Don't get preachy. Be present and show the compassion of Christ.
Amen. Now, in regard to similar experiences, I mean, the scriptures tell us that one of the reasons we suffer is that we can comfort others.
Yes, absolutely.
So if we preface it by saying, I may not be ever able to understand exactly what you're going through, and even though on the surface some of the pain I've experienced in life may look similar, you and I are completely different individuals, we're unique, and I cannot say that my experience is at all identical to yours. Maybe you may have an extremely different reaction to what you're going through. But having said that, and then you move on to say what you want to say in regard to the similarities of your experience. Is that proper? Are you there, Paul? I think Paul got disconnected. Well, we're gonna have to hang up on Paul. We're going to hopefully get Paul to call us back. Oh, here he is. Hey, Paul, I don't know what happened.
I'm not sure what happened, Chris. I lost you, so I quick called you back.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. As I was saying, as long as we preface what we're saying by the fact that our experiences may not be at all felt in the same way, we might not respond in the same way. As long as we preface it with something like that,
yes,
isn't it appropriate to?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, what you have described is a wise use of words. I think we just need to be careful that the first words that come out of our mouth are not, well, I went through that too. You know, sometimes I hear of, like, women who have gone or are going through a miscarriage. And, I mean, I think it's really super helpful to them to have other women in the church, other women in their lives, who are able to say, I'm so sorry for your loss, for your hurt. And you might not want to talk about it right now, but, you know, when you're ready, let me know, because, you know, my husband and I lost a baby too, or something like that. So I think that sharing those things are really important, but just to do it in wisdom and in the right timing. Perhaps it's not the first thing that comes out of our mouth. So the way that you crafted your words was wise and gracious, and that's a good example.
Let's see here. We have another anonymous listener. And the anonymous listener says, one of the things that hurts my heart is that I am racked with guilt that after sinning greatly in my past, I have moved on with my life, am, of course, a sinner daily, but am... Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know what's going on with the phone system here.
Right. Moving on with my life, and although I sin daily, am a faithful, repentant Christian. And at times, I'm very joyful and experiencing great gladness in life. But I am racked with guilt over this due to the past sins that I have committed and their severity. Is this proper to be racked with guilt over past sins on a continuing basis?
Well, it's understandable, but it's not proper in the sense that it reveals an unhealthy sense of shame and a misunderstanding of the completeness of the forgiveness that belongs to us in Christ. One of the most helpful scriptures, I think, is found in the book of Hebrews, where it talks about how the Lord Jesus has taken our shame, that when he took our sin upon the cross, he also took the shame that is associated with sin. Remember, he was publicly crucified, so on a public street in Jerusalem, outside the city, you know, for all to see. It was the sin and the guilt of our sin, but he also endured the shame that goes along with our sin. And then there's a beautiful scripture then as well in Hebrews that speaks of how the Lord Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. And so when a believer struggles in this way, one of the most helpful things to do is to go to a scripture like that and then to confess to the Lord and say, Lord, your word says that my Savior, the Lord Jesus, is not ashamed to call me his brother, his sister. And so I accept the forgiveness, the completeness of the forgiveness that you have promised to give me in Christ. So what that believer then needs to do is every time their mind and heart is assaulted with that overwhelming sense of guilt and shame, they need to run back to Christ, back to the cross, to remind themselves that their acceptance with God is purely based upon grace. And that's what they need to remind themselves of. It's not their past experiences. It's not even their present performance for God. But to go back to the gospel, go back to the assurances that we find in the Word of God concerning how thoroughly the sacrifice of Christ has dealt with our sin problem.
Amen. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, to follow up on a question a few moments ago, how do you respond to the person that does not want to listen to your advice, your counsel, by saying, you've never experienced what I've experienced, so you really can't adequately talk to this circumstance?
Yeah, I think that, well, you know, it depends on the tone of their voice. I think when they say that to you, as to how long you would continue that conversation, if it's someone who's a scoffer, then Proverbs would indicate that you shouldn't really waste very much time answering a fool according to their folly. But if you can tell that they're just really hurting, they're really struggling, then I think the simple thing to say is, well, to an extent, you're right. You know, I can't fully understand every part of it, but I don't have to, because the comfort that I'm giving to you doesn't originate with me. The comfort I'm sharing with you is God's comfort. It comes from Him just through me. And so I hope that this is of help to you, and let me know if you ever want to talk in the future, and I'll be praying for you.
And Ronald, give us your full mailing address out in Eastern Suffolk County, because you've also won a free copy of the book we have been addressing, a small book for the hurting heart, Meditations on Loss, Grief, and Healing, by our guest Paul Touches, compliments of our friends at New Growth Press, and also it will be shipped to you, compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, our sponsor, who will be shipping that out to you at no charge to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Going back to my own questions, in addition to reading the devotional daily, what else should readers be doing alongside to face their loss and move toward healing?
Well, I think be aware that there are dangers, you know, that exist in grief, that grief can leave us really vulnerable, and there are ways that we can get stuck. We can get stuck in anger. We can get stuck in anxiety. you know, we can get stuck in unproductive and even sinful responses to our grief. And so we need to just continue to practice the spiritual disciplines that our soul needs, even on days when we don't necessarily feel like it, to be talking to the Lord in prayer, to be praising Him in song, to listening, you know, to Him in His Word. I find singing to be really, really helpful, especially singing Scripture or singing songs that are just rich with scriptural lyrics. Music, you know, being created by God, but when music is married to the Word of God, it has an amazing power to get into the nooks and crannies of our inner being and minister to us in a way that is sometimes just really profound. I think also we need to be sure that we stay public and we stay connected to our family, and especially to our local church as well, so that they can minister to us. It's easy in times of grief to isolate ourselves, but we need to be careful about that. Obviously there will be times that we need to be alone, and we need to be alone to grieve and alone to spend time with God, but to be careful that time doesn't go on for too long, but that we stay connected with our church family so that they can minister to us.
We have another anonymous listener who asks, how do you respond to the impatient friends and loved ones around you when they tell you that your grief, your mourning has gone on too long? It's time to get on with your life. It's time to enjoy life. How do you respond to this?
Well, I think in humility, you know, we should pause and do our best with the help of the Holy Spirit to respond graciously to them, and perhaps then to even, you know, evaluate whether or not there is any truth in what they're saying. But I think we need to understand that everyone grieves differently and according to a different timetable. So the humility, you know, the humble response would be to reflect on that and realize, well, maybe there's, even in criticism, you know, there may be a kernel of truth there, and say, Lord, help me to understand, you know, am I stuck here? Am I stuck in my grief? But maybe you could even then gently respond to them by saying, you know, I appreciate your concern, and I'm aware that it is a danger for me to get stuck in my grief. But I'm taking my time, I'm with God's help, and I'll take a step forward each time, each day, with the help of the Lord, but it might take me longer than it takes other people. So in other words, opening up the door to that understanding that grief takes a long time for some people.
Is it ever appropriate for a person to grieve for the rest of their lives as long as there aren't destructive behaviors attached to it? You know, somebody becoming a hermit, somebody becoming an addict with alcohol or drugs, or finding some other earthly, sensual way to find a quick fix, and all those kinds of things. I mean, there might be a person who loved his wife so much that when he's 97 years old, on his deathbed, he may still have mourned and grieved over her loss for some, that's to some extent.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, even believers who are doing, you know, what the Scripture says and grieving with hope, that does not mean that every ounce of pain is going to be relieved in this life. In fact, I think most times it won't be. We can move forward and continue to function with joy by the grace of God, but that does not mean there will not be that continual sense of loss, that empty chair that's at the table, that recognition of, you know, Christmas just will be different now from now on. And part of that is just the ache that God wants us to feel that will only fully be resolved in heaven, in the presence of God, when every tear is wiped away, and all of the pain and the suffering is gone and will be no more, because it will be swallowed up by the presence and the joy of Christ. So, yeah, there's great truth in what you said. Grief opens the door to a lot of temptations. So the key is be careful. Be careful not to get stuck and spinning your wheels in grief, but also recognize that it's okay to continue to grieve to some extent for as long as we live.
Well, I'm going to read a question from CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and have you answer it when we come back from our last break.
Okay.
CJ wants to know, should we always discourage people who are seeking counsel from secular psychologists and psychiatrists, even if they claim they are benefiting from them? And we'll have you answer that when we come back. Don't go away. We'll be right back with our final segment of Paul Touch's and the Hurting Heart right after these messages from our sponsors.
James.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformWiki.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists,
and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gatti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gatti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Every day, at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Hi,
I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can call cvbbs.com. In addition to ordering online, you can call them to order by phone if that's what you prefer. And the toll-free number that you can call is 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday only, between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time only. There is no voicemail, and the phone line is only manned during those days and hours. We are now back with our guest, Paul Touches, and Paul, our guest, or should I say our listener, in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, CJ, wants to know if we should always discourage people who are getting counsel from a secular psychologist or psychiatrist.
Well, my answer would be yes and no. it's not wrong for them to be experiencing the comfort, that comes as part of God's common grace. Unbelievers, secular counselors can be kind, they can be compassionate, they can say helpful things. When we really understand the scriptures, we understand the comfort that comes to us from the Word of God and through Christ, we understand that ultimately we need something deeper than that, we need something more helpful than that. And that's why, the Apostle Paul even discouraged us in Colossians 2 to be careful that we're not taken captive by worldly philosophies. And the main reason that Paul is concerned there is because all of the worldly ideas and things that were impacting the Colossians there were diminishing Christ. And that's really what it comes down to is, we can get helpful information as a means of God's common grace through various people and even secular counselors, but it's only going to be very limited in its impact and help to us. So I think that the better thing to do is to always lift up Christ. I don't think we should scold people or getting help where they think they can find help, but I think what the better thing to do is to present to them the superior counsel, which is Christ. Christ is a superior counselor. The Word of God is a superior counsel. And to understand Psalm 1, that that the most stabilizing counsel comes from the Word of God. It's when we meditate on the Word of God day and night. That's when we are firmly planted by streams of water, and that's when we yield fruit, in its season. So, yes and no. No, in the sense that I don't think we should scold people, make them feel that they are inferior to us because of their choice, but I think that we can acknowledge what help they might be receiving, but then go further than that to present the beauty of Christ and the comfort of his counsel that comes to us through his word.
Yes, and a part of CJ's question was, even if they're benefiting from this counsel, well, they may think they are, just because they may have their consciences salved and they may feel better about some sin in their life, but if it's a secular counselor, this person might be encouraging them to continue in it.
Sure, or if it's in the case of grief, you know, which has been our topic the last 2 hours, you know, it might simply reveal that this person is lonely and needs someone to talk to, and what it might be revealing is an opportunity that God is giving to us then to get involved in that person's life, invite them to church, bring them to church with us, share the beauty and the comfort of Christ with them, because they may be completely ignorant of the superiority of Christ. And so I think that the way we would discourage is really important. Discouragement for discouragement's sake, or to come across as being holier than thou to people, or inferior, or that they're inferior to us, is incredibly unhelpful. But to instead say, let me share with you the comfort that the Lord Jesus has given to me. And, or, could I share, you know, a Bible verse with you that just
sure.
been so helpful to me in dealing with my anxiety or my grief? And gently minister to people that way, I think we're going to be farther ahead in the long run.
Yeah, I remember the world-renowned psychologist, Dr. Joyce Brothers, who was a very well-known figure for decades on television. I'm dating myself because a lot of young people have no idea who I'm speaking of. But she actually had the audacity to suggest that people might want to spice up their marriage by having an affair as long as they were certain that their spouse would never find out about it. Now, I don't know how that is possible, but anyway, obviously a horrific, horrible source of counsel. But, well, we are out of time, and I was wondering if you, in about 30 seconds' time, could just share just one more piece of encouragement about grief to those who are listening.
Yeah, I would just quickly say that, you know, whatever loss you've experienced that has brought grief into your life, that there is comfort that is available, and the comfort comes from the Lord, that God is the God of all comfort. God the Father is very attentive to your loss. He loves you. He cares for you. He's proven that through the giving of his Son to be your Savior, to rescue you from eternal punishment and to give you eternal life, that Jesus is the compassionate and understanding Savior who can minister to you in your time of grief and loss, and that the Holy Spirit is himself a comforter. Jesus is the one who referred to the Holy Spirit as another comforter. And so by interacting with the Lord in prayer and listening to his word, there is great comfort that is available. And so be careful. The enemy wants to take advantage of you in your time of grief and hurt. So be careful that you don't pull away from the Lord, but lean into the Lord. Spend time in his word. Meditate daily on his word. And the Lord will indeed comfort you with the promises that are found in the Scriptures.
The website for the church where our guest serves as the senior pastor, that website is cornerstonemayfield.org, cornerstonemayfield.org. And, of course, don't forget about New Growth Press. Their website is newgrowthpress.com. newgrowthpress.com. I want to thank everybody who listened today, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.